This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is The Escape Hour with Stefan, Fiona and Mark.
Let's meet our guest.
Cameron Mannix, Celebrity Cruises Australia BDM.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. Thanks so much for having me.
Welcome aboard.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thanks. So you, Celebrity Cruises, one of the big cruise companies.
Yes, correct.
You do a lot of cruising around the world and you have in your career.
Yes.
So it didn't start off with that job. It started off way before that. So picture this, Sicily, 1915. Where were you? How did you...
1915.
It was a couple of years after 1915, but not too far after.
Where did you get the idea?
Well, I actually, probably about 15 or nearly 20 years ago now, I started working on cruise ships. So I've spent about 2.5, 3 years...
When you're five?
Yeah.
This is child labour.
I was not born at that stage. but I've spent probably about 2.5 years cruising around the world on various cruise ships, not all at once, and travelling to some really exciting and exotic destinations. So it was a lot of fun.
So what inspires you to cruise? Because it's got such an unusual reputation. People either think it's the shuffleboard crowd or these floating syphilis factories with parties.
Oh, you had to raise that one, Mark. We were going to stay away from that topic.
It's kind of either, you know, one end of the spectrum or the other, and or the hyper-luxury.
I think cruising these days is a lot different to what it used to be, and people maybe have perceptions about what cruising used to be, but nowadays there's certainly a cruise for everyone. There, as you said, there's those very ultra luxury experiences on board. You've got small ships, big ships, but when I went to sea, it was pretty much about traveling the world. It was a fantastic way to get paid, work a little bit on board, and cruise from the Amazon River to Tahiti to the South Pacific to Europe, kind of all over the world. So for me, it was a fantastic way to travel. Kind of my version of backpacking, if you like.
I'm loving the sound of it. I need a career change.
So anyone can do it.
Yeah. So and you did it, of course, through song and dance.
Yes. So I was in the
jazz tap and ballet.
Come on.
Less tap and ballet, a little bit more singing. So I was the male singer in the production shows. So we had our own kind of like musicals, if you like, on board the ships. And I also got to do my own show.
So
and,
this is light format. Assuming it's not Wagner.
No, it was kind of a bit of everything.
Really?
Some sort of jazz, music, theatre to sort of contemporary music. So it was quite wide and varied.
Oh.
And we'd do maybe a couple of shows in one night and then you'd have a couple of nights off and then do another show then. So it was
what were your most memorable shows?
We did one... it was kind of Beatles based, which I mean, everyone loves the Beatles music. And then I suppose your classic divas. So we had Madonna, Elton John, I guess, who's a bit of a diva.
She's the Queen of England.
She definitely is. So those sort of classic songs that everyone knows and loves are probably my favourite ones.
Right, so the divas, were you in that?
Perhaps, but I certainly wasn't. I wasn't playing
Frocked
Madonna. One of my good friends, Elise, she was actually the female singer and she got all the big diva ballads.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to The Escape Hours with Fiona, Mark and Stefan. And our guest today is Cameron Mannix from Celebrity Cruise. And so we've been hearing about your performing as a diva. and then, so you moved on then from performing.
Yes.
Because obviously, I mean, you were on the seas.
That's right. Melbourne's my home. So I spent a lot of years cruising around the world and also doing shows based on land, you know, around Australia. And ultimately, I just kind of wanted to come home and spend some time with my friends and family. So
what does that look like to live on board? Do you keep a home or a room or something? Or do you pack everything up and you have your ducks on the wall?
Depending on your position on the ship, you get a room or you share a room. So it's kind of like a hotel room. It's just a little bit smaller. Working on board is a really fun, exciting and interesting experience. It's kind of like the United Nations. You just happen to be on a cruise ship. There's usually over 50 nationalities on board.
Wow.
genders, all sorts of orientations. It's a really fun, exciting world to live in. But at the same time, it's kind of like working in a small town. You know, everyone knows everyone's business.
Right.
Everyone loves a bit of a gossip. And certainly at night time, you know, once the sun goes down and the crew bar takes off, that's when it gets a bit exciting.
So you're in your own bar.
Absolutely. There's a crew bar where, you know, have different themed parties, and like Australia Day, we'd have an Australia Day party, or, you know, the Indonesian crew would have their own party one night and they'd cook us all this amazing Indonesian food. Mm. So it's a really fun experience.
Right. And I'm imagining there's a bit of a community of people who are sort of, is there a name for people who live on the water?
Just cruise ship crew, I guess. Right. There's definitely a community, and people live on there from maybe 3 or 4 months right up to 6 to 8 months.
Wow.
If you're someone like the captain, you may only be on board for 3 or 4 months at a time. Then you'll have a couple of months off and then you come back to the ship. But you might go to the same ship or a different ship. And the best part about it is these ships travel all around the world. So they'll generally spend 4 to 6 months in one destination. Mm. So, for example, in Australia, we're here from say October to March, and then our ships go off to Alaska or Asia, so you get to kind of cruise all over the world.
So you do several cruises around Australia.
Correct. It's pretty much following the warm weather. Yeah,
and
it's
then
all about
move
summer.
On to
move okay. on to somewhere more exotic or somewhere different or somewhere warmer.
You want a year-round tan.
Pretty much. I did have a pretty good tan when I worked on the ships, and I managed to avoid the Melbourne winter for a few years in a row, which was pretty cool.
Nice, sweet. So you're going all over the world.
Yes.
Are the different boats like different cultures?
In terms of
companies?
Absolutely. Look, there's lots of different cruise lines out there in the world, and they range from, you know, your 3-star right up to your 6-star all-inclusive. You've got smaller ships that can go right up the Amazon River, for example, and then you've got some larger ships, like our sister brand, Royal Caribbean, has the biggest ships in the world, and they hold around 6,000 passengers.
Wow.
They are huge.
Wowza.
Is this like the one that crashed in Italy?
That was not us, no.
Did you see that?
I did see that.
That was frightening.
Yes. Bit of a mechanical malfunction, slightly awkward. But there's all sorts of different sizes. And then you've got down to your little river cruise ships as well, just cruise on
the rivers. I know that the river cruises are increasingly popular, particularly with the older demographic. Mm-hmm. And my mum and dad are, you know, the fans of the river cruise. You know, they've done them all, the Rhine and the Danube and the Mekong. And
have they done the Murray?
No.
Is that well, there is. Had, there's the, I think it's a Murray Princess, or there is a riverboat up in the Murray.
Super lovely. But it's interesting because it does come down to your, you know, I mean, you could probably give some tips about how people should choose their
Absolutely.
Berth.
Absolutely.
So my folks like to travel business class, but they don't have so much money that they can then pick the top berth. So they get a bottom berth, save money on their berth, spend their money on their flights.
Absolutely. And look, you're exactly right. There's lots of different choices on board. You can go if you're in inside cabin, which doesn't have any natural light, or you can go right up to your penthouse suite, which is bigger than most apartments that
you
find in
Melbourne. Is it legal to have something with no natural light? That sounds weird.
It's just kind of like an inside stateroom. But look, for those people who are in those inside staterooms, you don't spend a lot of time in them because you're out enjoying the shows, the entertainment. You're usually at a port every day or every second day. Mm. And there's so many different lounges and restaurants and bars and lots of entertainment. Yeah, it's a bedroom. You go there to sleep.
And shower.
And who knows what else. Yeah. But yeah, that's it.
Change your clothes.
Yep.
Occasionally.
So one of the things that
unless it's a clothing optional.
Ooh.
Well, some of our...
Does that happen?
We have... Atlantis Events, which is a company in the States, charters some of our ships, and it's for... anyone can go there, but it's largely LGBTQ+. And they've chartered the biggest ships in the world, our Oasis class. So there's, you know, 6,500 people on board, and it's just a big party every night, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, we were going to actually address that very question, which was about not just about parties, but inclusivity that is run through celebrity cruises.
Absolutely.
Do you want to tell us, I mean, you know, obviously cruises, there's a part of that community, the community that just loves cruises. And
Absolutely.
We've all read about it, and I've not been on one. Have you guys, have either of you been on it?
A very short cruise for three nights from Portsmouth Southampton to Hamburg in Germany on the Queen Mary.
I hope it was summertime.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It was August, but I didn't feel like summer in Europe. But
maybe you could tell us, Cameron, a little bit more about
absolutely. So Celebrity Cruises is very much an inclusive cruise line. We're all about diversity in all its forms, and that kind of is led by our president and CEO, Lisa Lutoff-Perlo. She's been our president for just over 3 years now, and she's very much about empowering women particularly. She hired the first female captain on board an American cruise ship, which is really exciting in what is traditionally a very male-dominated industry.
Why?
Absolutely.
Just cruise ships, just tradition. It's basically been men,
naval.
And it's passed down through their absolutely naval. It's passed down through their families. You know, their sons grow up and they work on ships. And what Lisa's done is sponsored courses across the world in universities. She's hired a lot of fabulous young women who work on our bridges, and really increasing the gender or decreasing the gender gap, and really empowering people to think that they actually can work on a cruise ship, they can work on a bridge, they can captain a cruise ship, whereas traditionally it was a lot harder to do that.
Yeah, visibility matters.
100%. And in terms of the LGBTIQ plus community, we very much embrace all people to come on board. We're very much about, I suppose, opening up the world through cruising to different destinations and broadening people's perspectives about life.
Is that a little difficult in some of the more conservative countries, the Caribbean, for example?
Yeah, look, there are certainly some, definitely some conservative countries in the Caribbean or Caribbean, however you want to say it. And I guess what we try to do is open up not only our guests' eyes to the rest of the world and how fabulous it is if we live in an inclusive society, but also to kind of impart that to the destinations that we visit. And it is, an ongoing challenge, as we all know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that must be really fascinating from the top of the organisation when you're dealing with some of the places that you're visiting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And navigating. I mean, that's a whole other component, of course, which is just massive. Now, I mean, you've been cruising for a long time. Do you have
ships?
On ships?
Yeah, on ships.
Do you have a favourite destination? I mean, you've got obviously so many.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say definitely one of my favourite to cruise to is the Greek islands. It's a fantastic and quite an easy way to visit, to hop between the different islands. And you can spend a day there or perhaps an overnight sometimes. I'm heading back to Europe with my partner to celebrate his 40th birthday, actually, in a couple of months.
How exciting!
So we're doing a cruise with some friends, and we're going to the Greek islands, Mykonos and Santorini, Neapolitan, which is a new port that I haven't been to before. And we're doing sort of the Amalfi Coast and quite a bit of Italy as well.
Oh, I love the Amalfi Coast.
It's beautiful.
When I was at the Amalfi Coast, I'll tell a brief story, I was actually shown a Greek grotto that was under the water off the coast,
really?
A Positano, that only the locals knew about, and a local took me out there on a little boat and said, right, just dive down there. And sure enough, I came up in this little tiny, like sort of 6 foot by 4 foot Greek grotto with like the remains of a little statue in there. And I went, this is insane. How come nobody knows about it? Well, the locals don't tell anyone.
It's probably a good thing, though.
Yeah.
And that's keep something to themselves.
Definitely. And
that was magical.
When we travel, we love to do that as well, just to kind of immerse yourself into the local culture and the destination. Maybe do things a bit off the beaten path instead of maybe going to that restaurant that is the famous tourist one right in the main square. Got a bit of a wander, find something a bit more unique.
So how do you educate your guests on board?
Well, we have a fantastic concierge on board. We offer shore excursion adventures as well. And what we're finding the trend is, instead of people getting on a bus that's got 40 or 50 people, they want to be in a smaller group tour, 10 to 12 to 15 people that are more, locally immersed. So we might go and visit a local farm that's been run by the family for 20 or 30 years or even longer. Yeah. And that's more of an experience as opposed to going to a theme park or something like that.
Mm. I reckon the best job is the concierge because you have to go and check everything out.
Correct. You've got to try it all.
You've
got to test it all. 100%.
I think that's what I'm going for.
It's a pretty good job.
Career change, Fiona?
Yeah,
concierge,
totally.
The cruise ship.
Oh. Those golden keys.
That's right. I could just cut my hair into a little bob and,
Why did you need to cut your hair?
I just was channeling Julie, from the Love Boat.
Oh.
She had a little bob.
You want to wear a cute little uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd look cute in a uniform.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do? podcasters to battle.
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9 fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
Now, we were just talking briefly before, Cameron, about your coming trip with your partner to the Greek islands and to Italy and the Amalfi Coast.
Yes.
If one day your partner proposes to you and you decide to get married, where would you go on your honeymoon?
Oh, that's a very good question, Darren. I hope you're listening.
Come on, Darren.
Well,
you can donate, Darren, and then get a flight.
Yeah, that's right.
Donate $1,000, maybe Darren will propose. Who knows? On air.
Whoa, that's a great idea,
Darren. I don't want to put him in that situation.
That's
that's a really tough question. So he's English, well, English-Australian, and also of Jamaican heritage. So I don't know, maybe whether we'd honeymoon in Jamaica, but we do love going to Europe as well. So we kind of like the whole beach resort kind of vibe thing. Something very chill, something very relaxed, with just really good food and cocktails.
And might I mention it would be a martini, because it says here that you like martinis.
I am fond of martinis. And actually on Celebrity, which we're doing actually in August, we have this amazing ice-topped martini bar, and there's about 25 different martinis.
No kidding. Yeah. I'd get on the boat just for that.
You can work your way through all of them. And we've just introduced, which I haven't tried yet, a kale martini. I'm not quite sure about that. It's supposed to be a healthy version, but if you're drinking a martini...
There's still alcohol, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how it works.
It's a healthy drink, but...
Well, that does depend on whether you think of alcohol as being unhealthy.
Well, it's low fat.
It's low fat, that's right.
It's full of carbs, spirit, isn't it?
Very
well,
high
it does
carb.
Depend, I guess, on if you're having a gin. Are you a gin or a vodka man?
Look, I do love a G&T, but a martini is generally a vodka-based. So I love a good espresso martini. Or we have this awesome one called a Fresca, and it's watermelon-based. And watermelon's good for you, so it's kind of healthy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
No calories.
It's a salad, absolutely. That sounds really fun.
I think redefine dietetics.
Well, we could on this show.
It's a liquid diet, basically.
Yes.
And, you know, we have some fans of this show, don't we, Mark?
We've just had some donations.
We've had some donations. And Tim from Castlemaine has donated $50.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
And that's five entries.
That's five entries. And he says, love Escape Hour. Yay!
Thank you, Tim of
Castlemaine. I love to love
you,
baby.
Does that mean you don't have to yodel yet? It's got to be $100, isn't
it? But wait, there's more. We had a sign-up and a donation from... Aloj, I think, of South Yarra with a $50 donation, so we've hit the $100 mark.
Oh. Does that mean you have to yodel?
I'm going to have to find out how to yodel and then...
yeah, well, you don't have to yodel. You can yodel and then you can just make
what
it
is
up.
That? Sort of in a yoga position.
Yeah, well, we could invent it. And so if you're
singing
inventing...
Singing Darwin Dog.
I don't know about that. Look, you can do goat yoga, so you can sing in yoga at the same time.
And broga.
Broga.
Yeah, it's a bloke.
It's Broga.
Oh, it's the bloke's Broga. Oh, wow.
Broga, dude.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a thing.
So I bet they have yoga classes on the cruise ships as well.
Oh, we've got complete fitness centres. So generally... cruise ships, there's a lot of eating going on.
Well, that's what it's going to be one of the questions. It's pictures, a lot of eating, a lot of drinking because it's all inclusive. So how do you promote a little bit more of a healthy...
For us, we have these fantastic... Like we have a spa cafe, which is very healthy, low-calorie, low-fat cuisine.
So that's on all the ships.
Yeah, that's on all the ships. Celebrity's very much focused on fine food. So for those people that like the finer things in life, great food, great wine, great cocktails. And the cuisine on board, it's all freshly sourced produce. And we're not talking massive portions. We're talking nice kind of fine dining experiences. And there's all sorts of different restaurants you can try. I mean, our new ship, Edge, which is the one we're going on in end of August, there's 27 bars, lounges and restaurants. So there's a lot of choice out there.
Oh, my holy moly.
But you can go to the gym. It's interesting because the gym is usually...
Betty Ford.
Yes. We do have AA meetings on board, actually.
Yeah, the Frequent Dryers Club.
Yes.
The Frequent Dryers Club. You're a wit, Mark. Mark. That's classic.
It's pretty cool, and you'll see the gyms are pretty busy in the first couple of days, and then people kind of go, actually, I'm on holidays. I'm just going to enjoy myself. Mm.
So that actually, from a staff point of view, could possibly be. I mean, is there a when you're working on board,
yes,
and everyone else is having a good time, what's the situation with you might want to just have a good time too.
Correct. Well, look, we have our own bars and restaurants on board, so there's the crew mess and a couple of restaurants we can enjoy. Depending on your position on the ship, you can also go out and dine in the restaurants throughout the ship. And if you've brought your family on or guests, my parents came on a few times and I could go and dine with them in the restaurants. But you do have to be very careful. You do have to exercise and just be conscious of what you're eating, just like in everyday life, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Just so you're not lying on a deck chair the whole time, basically.
Well, hopefully if you're being paid, you're doing something.
Correct. We pretty much went to the gym every day and you've got the time to do that as well.
That sounds amazing. I'm loving the idea of taking my new life.
It's a good life.
On the water.
Concierge. You don't have to cook or clean but for 6 or 8 months.
All your Danielle Steele novels.
Exactly. Think of all the reading I could get done.
But as a performer, though, you would also quite expend a lot of calories during this show.
You do. It's quite full on. You sweat a lot. You do. It's pretty exhausting. I mean, you're on stage for maybe a couple of hours each night, but you are exerting a lot of energy. It's a great way to stay healthy.
Now, keep in mind, listeners, we're talking to Cameron Mannix. He is no longer a performer.
Correct.
on the cruise ships.
Just on the side,
celebrity
not on the
cruises. He just does it at
just
home.
The
weddings,
bars.
Parties, available, anything like that.
So we've been talking about all things cruising with Cameron. So you're off to the Greek islands.
Yes, correct.
Now we're going to take a break shortly, but start telling us a little bit more about your plan and the islands you're going to.
Absolutely. Well, the whole trip is actually about 3.5 weeks. We're actually going to the UK first to visit Darren's family who live up in Nottingham, see all the nieces and nephews, which will be fun. And then,
so how long has it been since he's been home?
He was actually home at Easter, a couple of months ago. Yeah, we see the family once or twice or three times a year.
Oh, that's great to have that much contact with kids.
The mother-in-law was here first time ever for 6 weeks in January, February.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, and she's never flown that far, and so it was fantastic to have her out here.
Did she enjoy herself?
She had an amazing time. So we actually did a cruise. We did a cruise to the South Pacific Islands.
Wow.
She loves cruising.
Oh, that's just perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
She's very happy that Darren met you.
She's very happy. She loves a good cruise discount. and then we're actually going to Mykonos for about 5 days, just the two of us. So family time, Mykonos, just relax. And then we fly to Rome, and where we board the ship for 11 nights cruising around the Greek islands to Malta, which is another beautiful country.
I have not been to Malta, but I'm
really
very keen
Valletta.
To go.
The old town in Valletta is absolutely stunning. The food, the architecture, it's just a really beautiful place to visit. And Jody, who's actually travelling with us, she's a Maltese, so her job is to show us around Malta.
Well, we have such a huge Maltese population here in Melbourne.
Absolutely.
Really massive.
Great
More
food.
Than in Malta.
More than in Malta.
Interesting.
Okay,
there's a greater Maltese community in Australia than in Malta, because Malta's just so
it's
tiny.
Quite small, yeah.
That and people are so multilingual, they can go to the UK or Italy or so many other places to work, and with the EU, the Maltese
it's easy to move around.
So what are the top stories about what you're going to do while? Is there anything specifically? I mean, we know you're going to be lying on a beach.
Yeah,
we know
we'll
you're
definitely
going to
be lying on the beach.
We know you're going to be eating barbecue calamari. But what else are you going to do?
We're going to go to Capri.
Oh, I've been to Capri.
You've been to Capri? How beautiful is it?
I loved it.
Where the rich and famous go, which we are neither of those things. We're going to go a bit of star spotting. And you can actually, you were mentioned before you went to a grotto in Italy. You can actually do that as well. You can go into these caves. Either on the little boats or also diving. So we're going to check that out. We're also going to go down to Portofino. I love these little Italian seaside villages. Mm. Just beautiful architecture, great vibe, cute little family-run restaurants. Perhaps have a martini or two.
The Amalfi Coast is stunning. Yeah. I mean, Ravello is beautiful. Positano. Actually, Praiano, the little village outside. So if you don't want to stay in the hustle and bustle, the hustle and bustle in inverted commas of Positano. Just past Positano is this little village called Praiano. Uh-huh. It's about 6K, and you can stay there. And then if you want to go into Positano, you can
do it.
And it's just a little bit of an escape. I stayed in a very cute little hotel called the Hotel Continental. Funny.
That sounds really cool.
And so that's a nice little thing to think about. But you'll be on the boat, so you're not going to be staying...
So when we arrive in a port maybe at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then it depends on the actual destination. You might stay till 5 or 6, or you might stay overnight. So if it's overnight, you can literally get off and enjoy dinner in the local destination, kind of immerse yourself a bit more into that destination. So we're generally trying to look at longer stays and more overnights because people, I think, want to immerse themselves a bit more as opposed to just 6 or 7 hours.
So that must be... I mean, if that happens on a celebrity cruise, of course, then the staff get to hang out and take
port
over the
days,
whole boat.
Yeah, look, port days are great. If you're a passenger and you don't get off, you kind of can rule the ship. You can. It's a lot quieter and you don't have to challenge to get a deck chair. But also for the crew as well, it's their opportunity for some of them to get off and explore and have some food that's off the ship as well. And, yeah, get a bit of peace and quiet from the passengers.
Yeah. Because I imagine it's quite hectic and compressed.
It's quite full on. I mean, look, I suppose the misconception is for cruising that thousands of people are packed on and you're literally elbow to elbow. It's actually not like that. There's a lot of space on board for our passengers and there's lots of small restaurants and bars and lounges where people spread out.
So they can break out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get some chill out.
You're not packed in.
Read your Danielle Steel novel.
Correct. Like the ship we're going on, an Edge, it's about 16 stories high and there's about 3,000 passengers, but it's nearly 350 metres long.
Wow.
So there's so many different areas you can enjoy and pop around to. You're certainly not packed in.
Yeah, right. So cinemas...
Cinemas, theatres, all the bars, the restaurants, the lounges.
They're all inclusive?
Yeah, so we've got some restaurants that are included and some you pay like a $20 to $30 cover charge.
Right.
But certainly significantly less than you would pay at a fine dining restaurant in Melbourne, for example.
Right, okay.
And beverage packages, you can get beverage packages, so all your drinks are included.
Yeah.
You can certainly make it an all-inclusive experience.
Yeah, right. Because I think that part of the joy of a cruise is not having to take your wallet.
100%. And unpacking once. So we're on for 11 nights. We'll unpack on the first day. You're kind of moving to different destinations, but you're not moving from hotel to hotel. That's kind of a relaxing way to see the world.
Sounds so relaxing.
Yeah.
Come on board.
Okay.
Check it out. 9th of September.
9th of September.
Celebrity Edge. See you in Rome.
I'll see how I can swing a cruise discount.
I might be able to help you out.
Now, we do have a short live read to share with our listeners. When you donate to Joy, this donation drive, you not only help keep Joy on the air, but you also support our amazing podcast and help bring joy to the world. Do you want to finish that for me there?
In yodeling?
Yes, yodel it.
Yes. You support all the fun of every single Joy Breakfast and Drive show. Unique perspectives like Chicks Talking Footy, Checkpoint and The Escape Hour.
Ooh, that's us.
Show. The voices of underrepresented groups like Triple Bypass, Trans POV and Intersections and so much more. Let's keep bringing joy to the world. Donate now at joy.org.au.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is The Escape Hour with Stefan, Fiona and Mark. Our special guest today is Cameron Manick from Celebrity Cruises Australia.
One of the things we talked about a little bit was the notion of over-tourism.
Yes.
And so I'm quite interested to see what Celebrity is doing around sustainability of tourism.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of sometimes some communities that are against them, and we've seen that in Venice very recently. So how do you handle these issues?
Firstly, in terms of sustainability, it's all our jobs to protect the earth and protect the oceans, and we're very much in favour of that. Across all our brands, for example, we don't have plastic straws anymore. We're getting rid of reusable plastics. So it's all about, and in terms of the waste that we create on board, we're moving to 100%. Not offloading any waste, basically. So we burn things on board, we recycle a lot, and we also have our own water regeneration plants on board.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so we actually take the seawater on and treatment plants and actually use that for the restrooms, etc. as well. Mm. In terms of over-tourism, it's quite an interesting thing. Obviously, we've seen that a lot lately in terms of Venice. Venice, and not just from cruise ships, I would suggest, suffer from over-tourism. Absolutely.
Stigmatizing just the cruise ship. There's a lot of different...
I think there definitely has to be a balance as to how many people are actually visiting a destination and what impact they're having to that destination. But also the flip side of that, when we visit a port, our passengers get off, they're keeping a lot of local people employed through local tours and experiences. Most of our guests will get off and spend something, whether they go shopping, whether they go for lunch. So generally you're looking at upwards of $1 million invested just from our passengers when they visit a destination.
When we stop
in Melbourne, for example, over summer, you'll have 2,500 people getting off. They might catch a tram into the city. Mm. They might go to the Dandenongs. They might go to a winery. So they're definitely spending money locally. Mm. But there definitely has to be a balance. And a lot of ports only allow a certain number of ships, a certain number of visits per year. Mm. And I think that's a good thing because we need to look after the local destination.
Because we talked about it before, Boracay in the Philippines, that was just closed for a few few months just to try to regenerate, six months at least, and they knocked off, destroyed half of the hotels there to try to reduce the number of people. So it's something. I think it's a great thing,
and we're always looking. When we look at new destinations to visit, we look at what will our impact be by sending 2,000 or 3,000 people. Mm. If it's going to be a negative impact, if it's going to hurt the environment in some way, then we won't go in there. Mm. Work with the local authorities to develop a plan, whether it be infrastructure, so that we can perhaps visit there in the future sustainably and also contributing to the local economies as well.
That sounds very worthwhile and certainly, you know, goes towards ameliorating any bad media that cruise might have, or
100%.
Not just cruising, but, you know, over tourism. And in fact, we've decided that we're going to attempt a whole escape hour on the subject of over tourism. We just have to find someone to talk to us about it. Someone who's an expert in this and also can look at best category situations around the world where this is happening. Cameron, yes. Now tell us, what else would you really, you know, what other tips do you really need to give people for, you know, before they, if they've never been on a cruise before?
I think.
And if they are finding it trouble choosing.
Yeah. I would say definitely go and talk to your local travel agent is your number one stop. People have perceptions that cruise ships are all the same, and they're absolutely not. Just like hotels on land, you've got your luxury, you've got your 2-star, 3-star. So it's about really working out what you want out of a holiday experience. If you love good food, if you love good wine, celebrity might be the option for you. If you've got a young family and you want to go skydiving or bumper cars or water slides, then we've got our sister brand Royal Caribbean, which is kind of more family oriented. So it kind of depends what experience you want out of your cruise. And then Azamara, which is our boutique brand, only has 600 guests, and it's a lot more of a mature clientele perhaps and less family oriented. So there's definitely a cruise line and a cruise experience for everyone. Don't discount it because you have perceptions in your head about what a cruise could be.
That sounds very good advice. Can you tell us maybe one of your best experiences that you've had? It doesn't necessarily have to be on one of your own cruise ships, but, you know, in the time that you've been cruising, maybe we could look at something that has, you know, been the most wonderful experience.
I'd have to say one of the most amazing cruising experiences, and it's actually when I worked on board. I spent about 4 months cruising up and down the Amazon River, and that was phenomenal because you see this growing up, you see it on documentaries, but you never actually physically think you're going to go there. So we met some phenomenal local locals. We learned about the culture. We saw some amazing carnival type experience shows. We visited some really, I suppose, off the beaten path destinations. So that was just phenomenal, seeing the wildlife.
And did you meet a sloth?
I did. I held. I didn't hold a sloth, but I did see some sloths, and they're the cutest little things. They're very slow and very sleepy.
Yeah.
And we went fishing for piranhas as well. And they're actually really yummy.
It's really? Your best revenge on a piranha.
I know. So, and we went caiman hunting, which are kind of like little crocodiles. So you go out at midnight and people, like our guides would actually jump off the boat and pick a caiman out. It's kind of like about 50, 60 centimetres out of the river, the Amazon. So it was a pretty amazing experience. It's just like a small crocodile. It's a little baby one, about 50, 60 centimetres.
I did not know that.
They're really cute.
No, I've never heard of that either. A caiman.
Yeah. There you go.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much for coming in and talking about cruising. What do you think the future is? I hope this isn't a very heavy question to round out, but for cruising and environmental concerns.
I think it's actually a really exciting future for cruising and the environment as well. All cruise brands, not just us, are very conscious that we are out on the oceans. We need to take care of the planet. We need to look after the oceans, and we need to act in a very responsible and sustainable way. And every year that's getting better and better.
And what are the initiatives? Because I know there's a lot of packaging that goes on board.
Correct. So getting rid of single-use plastics, yep. Getting rid of plastic straws. Instead of having little sachets of soap, for example, in your stateroom, actually having reusable jars that we can
replenish. I always wanted to know, what happens to all the only once-used soaps in hotel rooms?
That's a very good question.
There are some charities that they collect them.
And they melt them down?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Clean them.
And clean them.
Because obviously soap is probably the least clean thing that you can use.
Well, what about your keyboard on your computer? That's pretty... Well, let's not go there.
Don't. Or your phone, for that matter.
That's true. That's gross. Let's not even go there.
This took a dark turn.
Now, we ask our guests one question on every single show.
We do.
And it's kind of a little poll we have.
It is.
And I think I've got a little bit of an insight in your answer.
It's very hashtag science.
It is scientific. How do you travel? Do you fold or do you roll?
Oh, I'm definitely a folder.
A folder?
100%. Definitely a folder. And we use little, little bags. So you put your T-shirts in one or your underwear in another one. But definitely
next
a folder.
Level. This is
next level. It's, trust me, it will make your life a lot easier because then when you're unpacking, you've just got little already bags where everything's already laid out.
Well, who takes it? Who unpacks?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, who unpacks?
See, that's what I do. I get to the hotel room, I unpack.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Depends
there's
how
no
long
time
you're there for.
That.
On a cruise, you would unpack.
Yes.
But maybe
of
if you're there for one or two nights, you
would. I always unpack.
I just take out if I need to wear something that night and it's got wrinkles, I just take out one thing.
Do you know, if you're in a suite on our ships, you have a butler, and your butler can actually unpack if you want them
an
to.
An iron.
Fair enough. That's
correct. That's another good reason.
And bring you a martini.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
Life is good.
I'm sold.
Buttle.
When they buttle?
Yeah, isn't that what a butler does?
Oh, does he buttle?
He could. If that's what you want, you're in a suite, you can ask him to buttle.
So, are packing and rolling, not rolling, you're definitely a folder.
Definitely a folder, 100%.
Wow.
And I travel a lot.
That's incredible.
And I find
because, you know,
best.
That goes against, I mean, we're not taking a scientific study or anything, but it does
it
sort of
the grain.
Go against the grain of what we thought. But maybe it's because
I don't want to follow everyone. I like to do my own thing.
Well, that's why you're here on our radio show, because we don't follow. We like to talk to all sorts of people. And next week...
Definitely not straight.
Next week, speaking of not being straight, we are talking to some people from a company called Cat Explorer, and they will tell us all about how to travel with your cat.
Oh.
I'll bring in
interesting.
Hugo for that one.
Yeah, you've got a cat.
Yeah, Hugo.
Oh, my goodness. Well, bring him in.
I will.
So, thanks, everyone, for listening. Please do donate. Tune in next week for Cat Explorer to hear all about travelling with your feline furry friends.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.